His father one day saw Saint Francis was Francis was moving out of the house. He had golden brocade blankets and so on him, and he saw how he moved to the people at the far end of the town, the lepers. And he distributed all these rich blankets to the lepers, and he took water and cleansed their wounds. He said, "My son has gone mad." And he locked him up. He said, "You are not going to do this again until you become healthy. You will only eat bread and water." Then Francis went out after this imprisonment and again gave all the riches of the house to the poor people. Hare Krishna. Then his father said, "As long as you are my son, you can't do this. We are working for this," and so on. "What is in your mind?" And at that moment, Francis said, "I'm not your son. I'm the son of my God, Hare Krishna. I disown everything which I have from you. I'll give everything up." And he took, it was on the marketplace, it was a public confrontation between father and son, and of course all the people of Assisi were interested. How will it go? What will be the result of this confrontation? So Francis just took all his clothes, undressed on the marketplace until not even a little pants were on him, underwear, everything he gave, and he said, "From this day on, I'm only responsible to my father, to God." And then he went outside of Assisi and with his own work and hands built up a dilapidated church and made a house of God from it, and had very nice lectures and so on. It was very strong, very, very amazing, I should say. So you can see Francis tasted a little drop of divine love, and it was so strong that he gave up everything of this world because he had tasted a little of the divine love. The power of love is the strongest. Let us look at Rupa and Sanatanga. When they meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the love of God awakened. And although Sanatana Goswami, imagine, he had more than 1,000 dresses. If he wanted to wear all his golden dresses in 1 year, he had to change 3 to 4 times his dresses a day. Imagine. I don't know how much sets of dress you have done here. Maybe 2, isn't it? Oh, 1. I have 3 other pullovers like this. This is my wealth. And Yadunanda, I think you also have everything which you have here in this room almost. So he was so rich. He had so much. But yet we hear from the Satgoswamyastakam that they gave up everything and dressed in tattered dresses, just a cloth here, and a quilt around the shoulders, and lived just very poorly because they felt the power of love, and it was so strong that they didn't need all these other so-called diversions any longer. Yes. Let us look at the life of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was maybe the richest, the son of the richest parents. His father, Govardhan Mishra, do you know, they financed all the brahmanas of Navadvip. They were all dependent on the charity given by Raghunath Das' father. He was so rich. But still, he wanted to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and become his servant. So his father put 10 servants around him. A few were watchmen, there were 2 cooks, Brahmin cooks, and so on. And he married him to a beautiful lady. Still, Raghunath Das escaped because he was after love. He wanted to taste the power of divine love, Hare Krishna. His wife, his mother said to his father, we should have kept him. But his father said, he has escaped the iron chain of the most beautiful lady in the world to taste the love of Krishna. Nothing can hold a madman of Gauranga. The power of love is so strong that the most powerful chains of Maituni means the sexual attraction, which is there in the world and serves as prison, can be broken by that. My last example is Haridas. Haridas lived in a cave when Maya Devi came. Do you know who is Maya Devi? The personification of the material energy. And she wanted to divert Haridas. When she came in the night, the whole forest was lit up by the effulgence from her body. And she made movements where even Lord Brahma would have lost his self-restraint. Arya said, what can I do for you? A very, very simple desire. Please enjoy union with me. Arya thought he was a preaching opportunity. He said, at this moment I cannot, because I have my vrata. It's not yet finished. My rounds are not finished. You just wait here when I'm finished. So he chanted, and Maya Devi heard the chanting. Then came the morning. I'm sorry, I'm not yet finished. Come back tomorrow evening. So Maya Devi came back the second day. Again, Haridas chanted the whole night. Finally, on the third night, Maya Devi began to chant. And she said, up till now I was a Ram Bhakta. I only chanted Rama, 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 Rama. She, or a Ram mantra. But now, by your influence, I have become a Krishna Bhakta and want initiation from you. Imagine, Maya Devi was defeated by the power of love. Huh? He had love for Krishna. This is a glorious success story. What do you think, Bhakta Brahma? It's wonderful. He had so much love in his heart for Krishna that Maya Devi became infected and had no control over him. Any one of us, if Maya Devi would come, maybe Bhakta Brahma would have a little chance, but all of us, we would be finished. So, this love, this Maya Devi who had conquered Samson, the Maya Devi who has conquered yogis and gurus, was conquered by the power of love. This is how powerful the love of Krishna is. Now, I want to slowly draw this presentation to the high point. to the climax. You will not believe what you will hear in a few minutes. When Krishna sees that a devotee loves him, he becomes conquered. Vrindadevi, Krishna becomes conquered by the love of his devotees. Prabhupada, he once made a very nice sentence. Both Krishna and the devotees conquer. Krishna conquers his devotees by his love, and the devotees conquer Krishna by their love. Krishna, when he sees the love of his devotee, he becomes bound. He is not free. Sanatana Goswami says, in the words of Krishna, Krishna says, if I would ever give up my devotee, I would stop being Krishna. He is so much attached to his devotees. And here are a few examples which I would like to tell you. When the cowherd boys died while drinking the Yamuna water, Krishna immediately came and restored their life by his merciful glance. Once the cowherd boy had drunken water from the poisoned Yamuna. Who had poisoned the Yamuna? Kaliya, correct. And it was so poisoned that even 100 bow lengths from the bank of the Yamuna, nothing grew. Birds who flew over the poisoned Yamuna and inhaled the poisoned vapor were falling and losing their life. So the cowherd boys and cows had drunken that water and immediately they died. Krishna loves his devotees so much. He came and he saw that they're dead. He just looked at them and revived them. The hope of a devotee is that we do please Krishna by our service so that he throws his merciful glance on us and revives us, that we get our spiritual life back. When we go to Radha Gopinath, you must know, the main idea is not that we see Krishna. The main idea is that Krishna sees us. That's much more important. What can we see? With his eyes? Not much. But if Krishna sees us, it's very good for us. You may not sometimes like to come to the Mangal Arati, but Krishna likes to see you. And therefore you should come. In the old times, the way we grew up, we couldn't miss one Mangala Arati. And still now I'm a little older, and sometimes I come back to the temple at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, when it's quarter to four. I still become restless because my training is to come for every Mangala Arati so that Krishna can see me. Just like you, a subject comes before his king and goes, I'm here. So this is how, even if you have no taste, you should come like this to the Mangala Arati. Krishna wants to see Bhakta Brahm. But me? Are you really sure, Sajinana? Yes, yes. Krishna loves his devotee. And, you know, once the inhabitants of the cows had been allured by fresh grasses, and they had gone into the forest. The cowherd boys had followed the cows to bring them back. But when they were deep in the forest, one demon, an associate of Kamsa, came and he created a forest fire which soon began to surround the cows and the cowherd boys. They were helpless. So they cried, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabahu, O strong-armed Krishna, please, Rakshamam, please save us. Krishna appeared in one leap amongst the cowherd boys. And he said, I will save you. At this moment, the cowherd boys understood Krishna would most properly do something mystical. So when someone does something mystical, you don't look so close. I think Vrinda Devi knows the art of magic. You can do some magical tricks? No? Who can do some magical tricks? No one of you? Daniel, you look? No? When someone can do some magical tricks, you just don't go and look very intently. You close your eyes a little and and you let him do his magical trick in privacy, isn't it? This is usually what you do. So the cowherd boys understood, our Syam will now do some magical trick again. We will close our eyes. Other cowherd boys thought, well, if Krishna swallows the fire, we can't see this. We will feel too shocked. So Krishna, after his cowherd boys had, after everyone had closed their eyes, just swallowed the fire. There's a beautiful painting where Krishna stands like this, and the fire enters him. Now when the fire came into the contact with the lips of Lord Krishna, it became purified and thought, this is my chance to serve the Lord. And it transformed itself into the most wonderful tasting amrita or nectar drink. You know, if also wanted to do some seva, I think we can understand the fire. So Krishna had saved his friends, but he didn't just want them to open their eyes and then be surrounded by black ashes. So by his own potency, the potency of love, he brought his friends to the Bandi Ravana tree in the Bandiravan, yes, which is there in Bandiravan, where they always used to meet. When they opened their eyes, they found themselves under this huge banyan tree, and everything looked very green and fresh, because Krishna had saved his friends from looking at something unpleasant, the ash desert. Krishna loves his friends very much, and this is one of the many examples which shows you how the Lord will respond to the love of his devotees. Krishna is a lover himself. In the Rasa dance, Krishna expanded himself to be simultaneously present by the side of each single gopi which came. And as the Guru Dakshin, Krishna recovered the dead son of his teacher, Sandipani Muni. Do you know about this? Krishna went right into the planet of Bali to get the son back. And when Krishna received Sudama Brahmana, who offered him a little ship rice, Krishna, out of his love, transformed the simple hut of Sudama into the most precious palace. There are many, many examples, and I do not want to bore those who do not like to hear about Krishna. There are many examples of how Krishna responds to the love of his devotees. There are many, many examples how he takes care of his devotees in this world. You must know the Bhagavad Gita shloka, Ananyas chintayanto mang yena mang upasate. Tesham nityabhyuktanam yoga kshemam vaham yaham. Krishna takes care of the devotees. And he has shown it many, many times. I remember a story of my life. It was some other devotee. I will tell you another one. The devotees were in Scandinavia. Who of you knows Scandinavia? Up in the north of Scandinavia, it's so cold. It will make you shudder to even hear about it. So therefore, I will not tell you. There are streets in Sweden which just go for 50 kilometers just straight ahead. They are put by dynamite into the rock. It's only rock and forest in north of Sweden. That's where my ancestors come from. That's why you know I have such a rock heart. I'm from this territory. Very rough territory. And so our devotees were driving behind one of these long trucks, you know, which have like a kilometer of things behind. So they were already for 50 minutes they were driving. Finally the driver decided it's too much, we must quickly go to the next Sankirtan spot. And he put his feet on the gas pedal, the car accelerated. So this was the road. I have to show it to you because otherwise you will not be able to understand. Okay, this was the road, yes? The truck was driving here. And the Sankirtan van came from here. Now when it was halfway where the truck was, he saw a big Chevy van was coming. Chevy van is an American van, big van, Chevrolet. It's coming from here. For 15 minutes, there was no traffic. But now the Chevy van was coming. He couldn't put his brakes on. It was too late, the Chevy van would get him. He couldn't accelerate and drive in front of the Chevy van. Too late, the Chevy van would get them. Death was the only solution. He couldn't go left and right. Why not? Because the road was, how do we say, it was cut by dynamite explosions into the rock. What did he do, the driver? His Sankirtan boys were sleeping peacefully in the car. What could he do? He decided, I don't want to kill the Chevy van driver. We will be dead. And he just pulled the car over to the side where there were only rocks. Since 50 kilometers, only rocks. He closed his eyes and chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But there was no explosion. There was no rocky wall. The car was going. Finally he opened the eyes. And what did he see? They were driving on a road. Now, this never happens in Scandinavia. The road had been made like this. And there was... it was cut into the rock, and the road... Because he went like this. Now, all the roads which bring... which are there in Scandinavia are coming like this to the street. Why? It's woodcutters who cut the wood and bring it next to the road for further transportation. And it doesn't make sense to make a road like this. You make it like this so that it can serve this part of the forest and that part of the forest. But here was a road like this. How do you explain this, Daniel? Krishna's mercy, isn't it? What is your explanation, Krishna Chandra? Krishna's mercy, isn't it? Yes. Yadunanda, what is your explanation? we cannot give another explanation. So, Krishna takes care of his devotees. If the devotees surrender unto him, Krishna responds to their love. Ye yatamam prapatyante tangs tataiva bhajam yaham. We know this shloka. In the degree someone surrenders unto me, I reveal myself accordingly. We hear from Vaishnava scripture that it's not exactly in the same degree. When you make one step towards Krishna, he makes 100 towards you. It's not proportionate in other ways. So my dear devotees, please finally give your love to Krishna. This is my point. Don't keep it for yourself. Don't project it on someone who's not worth your love. Don't fall in lust. But become a lover of Krishna, Hare Krishna. I think this is very important. We talk about going deeper, developing our japa, but if we don't talk about developing our love, I think we are cheating ourselves. We must talk about this subject, directing our misplaced love on Krishna. Bhakti is all about this. If you do not learn to love Krishna in some ways, or fix your loving emotion on Krishna, you will remain bound by the Alcatraz of this world, by the loving emotions of this world. It's really necessary. Sometimes we Hare Krishnas are a little dry. We are in Krishna consciousness well. When we ask people, why are you in Krishna consciousness, they say, I suffered so much in the world. I just had enough. You won't be able to stay in Krishna consciousness. Some say, I love the food and the people. It's a little better. But you will only be able to stay in Krishna consciousness if you slowly direct your love to Krishna. How does this happen? How can we direct our love to Krishna? Usually in this world we have the experience, we can't really choose whom we love. It just happens. I don't know if you ever fell in love or in lust in this world. It's not a conscious decision. It's just a bang. You behave a little foolishly. And then it has happened. We say, in our philosophy, we say someone has been hit by the arrows of Kamadev. Huh? The 5 arrows of Kamadev, which get the strongest one, is called Mohana, the bewildering arrow. And then comes, I once knew them all by heart, but I will spare you. The fascinating arrow. Whenever the person you fell in love in enters the door, she may be a brahmacharini or a brahmachari. So eyes become magically pulled in that direction because you have been caught by the arrow of fascination. There are 5 such arrows. Young men and young women who will... You will all experience them if you have not yet experienced them. Kamadev will get you if you have not put your love on the account of prema, of love for Krishna. How can you increase your love? How can you direct your love? The scriptures tell us, it's in the 4th canto, you have to hear the narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, again and again. Then you begin to understand, He's wonderful. You become, something happens in your heart. You have to hear the narrations of Krishna. This is the best way how to develop your love. The best example of this is Queen Rukmini Devi. She was living as a little girl at the court of her father. What was the name of Rukmini's father, please? Maharaj Bhishmaka. She stayed there, and from time to time Bhishmaka would receive a very honored guest, Narada Muni. Narada Muni would talk about Krishna. The little Rukmini heard it. When she grew up, she became the most beautiful girl. There were many people who desired her. First and foremost, the noble king Shishupal. So her brother, Rukmi, who was a little like Shishupal, a little demoniac, convinced his father that his sister would be married to Shishupal. So one night before the marriage ceremony, Rukmini wrote this beautiful letter to Krishna. She said, "Excuse me, please, for explaining myself so bluntly, but I only love you, and I want to become your wife. And if you think I'm not worthy, then I will continue to do many austerities for many births and deaths." Hare Krishna. It's all in the Krishna book. Later, Rukmini said something very heavy about husbands. He said, "A woman who thinks a body with a mustache on top of it and a lot of stool and urine inside Hare Krishna, is a husband is extremely foolish." She really heavily chastised people in the bodily concept of life. It is really very heavy. If you read this, it's in Krishna book as well. You really, it makes it like, woof. I mean, how could one ever make such a foolish mistake to fall in love? Rukmini really cuts through this. But my point is, she had heard about Krishna, and just by hearing, she desired to only marry him. She said, "I suggest that you kidnap me on the day tomorrow, on the day of my marriage." And then she wrote in the letter the exact plan. I will go into the temple to pray for blessings, and when I come out, I will go to the place of marriage, and then when I'm just going there, please kidnap me. Because that which is meant for the lion, for you, Krishna, cannot be enjoyed by the jackal. Rukmini is a very good example of developing what is called purvarag, technically. It's a attachment, purva. Purva means before the meeting. We are also here in the material world, and by hearing, we also want to develop a purvarag, an attachment to Krishna, so that we anticipate the meeting of our dear Lord. Krishna consciousness or bhakti has a lot to do with anticipation of meeting. No? Like Lord Chaitanya prays, a moment of separation from you, Govinda, appears like a million years. Prabhupada comments, we only have one necessity, the Govinda necessity. So nice, huh? We have only the Govinda necessity. We think, Prabhupada writes at another place, I think it's nice to read a nice quotation by Prabhupada on this. But I didn't bring my book, rather. Bhajan Rahasya, but it's my special prepared book. There Prabhupada said, everyone says, we have so many problems, but we only really have one problem. How to get the Radhadesh cookies? No. He says, how to accept Krishna? If you really accept Krishna, you will surrender to him. The Rukmini had accepted Krishna. But he said, kidnap me. Hare Krishna. So Krishna really loves his devotees. Krishna, as is said in Vrindavan, Krishna calls his devotees. How does he do this? The love of his heart, this is explained, is going into his lips, and then he blows on his flute, and the love of his heart enters the flute music, and it calls each one of his dear devotees to him. In this world, Krishna comes in another form and calls us. He comes as Paramatma, the Super Soul, and he kindly urges us, go to the 9 months training course in Radhadesh. You must have felt this. Huh? I know Vrindadevi was, there were a few options in your life what to do in these 9 months. And you were not sure in the beginning, I remember. And then the Super Soul, Vrindadevi, come and urged you. And you came here, and it is wonderful. I think Yadunandan also, you had so, he is a regional secretary of Spain. We have to pay our obeisances with great respect the moment we see Yadunandan. But the Super Soul has kindly brought him so that we have such a loving special principle here, so that very good Super Soul. I think Jai Govinda, you also had many things to do in your life. You could be in Prabhupada's at this moment and help solve all the problems. But the Super Soul has kindly urge you on, come Jai Govinda, be here at Radhadesh. Super Soul, Jiva Goswami gives an example of the Super Soul. He says the Super Soul is just like the fish mother. You know the fish mother swims behind the little fishes, and the little fish think we are independent, we are alone, and they swim left and right and then in a circle. And then they go around the cliff, but then the fish mother knows, in the cliff there is a dangerous, now I have to again look to our English speaking devotees, moraine, is it a moraine? These long fishes who come out and eat small fishes? They don't brush their teeth, so whenever they bite you, what?
More
eel? Yeah, it's like an eel, yes. How do we say?
You say a more eel, it's a kind of eel.
Yeah, it's a very dangerous. They can even attack human beings if they're very hungry and they always win. So the fish mother knows there's danger. And the moment the little fish go too close, the fish mother comes from the back, says, just pushes them a little, and the little fishes, instead of going here where the dangerous so-and-so is, Krishna Chandra will know the word, they are urged and go in the other direction. This is how the Lord, as Super Soul, is always watchful over his devotees in the world. He says, from him come knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. And you know this shloka, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, hirdeya arjuna tishtati brahmayan savabhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Lord as the super soul is situating next to the living entity who lives on this body like on a machine of material elements. And he directs the wanderings of all living beings. How wonderful! He's with us in this form and he wishes our best. He waits that we turn towards him. And when we turn towards him, he is very happy. You know from the Upanishad this verse that in our hearts are two birds. One is us and one is the super soul, and we are enjoying the fruits. The super soul waits for us. When is he turning to me? Hare Krishna. And Krishna up to this moment has not lost his patience with us. It's amazing, isn't it? He has not given up on you, Daniel. You must congratulate. We can't congratulate. I mean, he's really patient. The Lord is so kind. He is a loving Lord. When our heart is clean, we can be conquered by the love of Krishna. And when our heart is clean, we can also conquer God. Love is the strongest force. When it's misdirected, wars and frustrations are the result. When love is properly directed, it has a liberating effect. When love is directed towards Maya, it becomes lust. And when love is redirected towards Krishna, it's purified as love. There's a Hindi proverb which says, wherever there is Rama, there is no karma. And wherever there is karma, there is no Rama. A simple proverb, isn't it? It's very simple, huh? When you have love, lust in your bones and in your veins and in your genes and in your mind, then you must invite, whenever you have karma, you must invite Rama or God. So this is what we Krishna conscious devotees want to develop. We want to develop the most purest original type of love, which is the highest power in this world. Can someone give me the Bhagavad Gita, please? I think we all know from our... And can you please find the second chapter, verse 60 and 61? Can you please open it at this place? Oops. Krishna. Now, whenever a conditioned soul wants to develop his or her love for Krishna, it's not always easy. Arjuna has said to Krishna, the senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the mind. Krishna says this actually. The senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the mind even of a man of discrimination who's endeavoring to control them. Then Krishna gives the solution. He says, one who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. Prabhupada comments that the highest conception of... No, I had something else in mind. We have to be Krishna conscious, devoted to the personality of Godhead. This is the aim of the real yoga. Beautiful sound. This is what we are all about. When you want to check your own advancement, dear devotees, you have to look how much you love Krishna. You can also make a negative advancement, a negative test. You can find out in your heart how much lust is still there. Then you know it's not going so well. In Germany, we have this, Switzerland, there is a self-diagnosis. Do you know this? It's a little paper, litmus paper, and you put it into your own water, and then, by the way, it reacts with your own water or urine. You can see how much acidic you are in your body. You know? This is a self-diagnosis which is there. It's not something in, which I feel is very important if we study the bhakti movement and our own development of bhakti in the heart. Bhakti has something to do with love. Love of Godhead. And I would like to talk a little bit about love of Godhead before we really go into the bhakti rasayana shlokas, where we will hear about the examples of the great devotees of Lord Krishna. As you all know, love has five rasas, or five forms. Love is exchanged in five rasas, I should say, in the spiritual world. One is passive adoration, or the shantaras. The second is active service, or the dasya ras. Then comes the sakya ras, or friendship. Then comes parental affection, or vatsalya ras. And finally, the conjugal affection and exchange, which is the madhurya ras. Now, in all these five rasas, in the spiritual world, there is one principle visible. The principle of real love, and that is selfless giving. The devotees in the spiritual world who relate to Lord Krishna in one of these five rasas, all are in selfless giving. In the mood of selfless giving. When we find these rasas in a reflected way in the material world, then we do not find selfless giving as the main principle, but the main principle is that there is a desire to enjoy in these relationships. Especially Madhurya Ras, the highest rasa in the spiritual world, is often misunderstood by people in this world. They say, how can there be an erotic god? Or how can people relate like the gopis to the Lord? They dismiss such a relationship. Because they know intuitively that such a relationship in this world is it's not very divine. It is very much mixed with the desire to really enjoy. Now The scriptures tell us that what is highest in the spiritual world becomes lowest in the material world by the principle of reflection. The Madhurya Ras in the spiritual world becomes reflected and becomes a lusty activity in this material world full of the mood of exploitation. Our Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that although the rasas may look similar, that is, you might find something like Vatsalya Ras, Madhurya Ras, and Sakya Ras in this world, but because the principle is not there, selfless giving in this world, it only looks similar, but it is completely different. And he says, gives an example. Iron may look similar to gold, but it is entirely different. I don't know if you know gold, a little bit. You can hammer on it and make a square spread it in such a way that it is 2 times 2 square meters broad, just a little like this. And I heard if you are very expert, you can make gold is just so soft, you can make from a little pinch like this a long, long wire, because it's such a special metal. Iron is not at all like that. Iron breaks. Although iron and gold do look similar, there is a vast difference in their properties. In the same way, the reflected rasas in this world may look similar, or we may think, oh, I know these relationships to Krishna, but they are so much different because the principle is different. Here it is always mixed with selfish enjoyment, and there it is based on selfless giving or selfless love. Let us still love, which is the original relationship of the living entity to Krishna. Even though it may be in its reflected forms in this world, it's still very, very powerful. And I want to show today a little bit to all of you the power of love. Even, and I will start with the reflected form in the material world, and then I will go to the pure forms in the spiritual world. Because at the end of this little presentation, I will really request you to become lovers of Krishna. So we need to know a little bit about the subject from a philosophical and practical aspect. Love in this world is the most powerful feeling, and it comes in different forms. There are about 60 words in Sanskrit for love. It starts with the lowest form, which is Trishna. Trishna is thirst. When I'm thirsty, I do not ask if the water wants to be drunk by me. I just gulp it down the throat. And I do not think the water has any right to tell me what it wishes. I just use it. I will use this water brutally today for my own enjoyment. This is the lowest form of this feeling, which can be found in irresponsible loving, when people, for instance, come into this world, and when a man jumps, is doing something with a child, for instance, or with an unwilling woman, then this is called Trishna. It can go a little higher to Maitoni, that is sexual exchange of love. It goes a little higher to manmata. Manmata means you feel a crazy feeling, an irrational feeling in your stomach. It's like butterflies. Do we have this in English? Man hat Schmetterlinge im Bauch. One has butterflies. And then love becomes more developed in friendships, where you amongst equals. It can also be amongst friends, you know, man to man, woman to woman, and so on. And finally, love in this world becomes more and more into the mood of giving. Prabhupada said the highest form of love in this world is found in what?
Mother
and child. Because there is so much selflessness in this. Do you know, you cannot pay any servant who has done that amount of service to you like your mother has done. You cannot possibly pay any person like this, Vrinda Devi. What it means is the mother is 24 hours concerned about the child and takes care of every little thing. I mean, washing the face and the clothes and cooking and worrying for the benefit of the child. It is quite selfless, you must admit. That is the highest form of love which you can find in this world. Why is it highest? Because it is based on the principle of selfless giving. That lowest form, there is not at all any idea of selfless giving, the Trishna love. Huh? Unfortunately, many people, the way they love is this immature Trishna loving. You know, they have thirst, they have a need, and they want to satisfy the need with the other person, an emotional need, a physical need, a social need, and so on. Krishna, love to Krishna, you must remember, is really only of selfless giving in all the rasas. They just want to serve Krishna. That is very much there. Now we will talk a little bit about this a little later. But no matter in what form love appears in this world, it is very strong. It can even defeat the strongest person and make him a slave to this feeling. I want to see where. Yeah. In this world, people are usually under the control of some type of love. We call the love in this world by what name? Who knows the Sanskrit name of it?
Karma.
Yes. How do we call love in this world, please? Prema. Yes. Prema. There's a vast difference between the two, but I have spoken about it. I want to give you from the Bible a story which will tell you how strong love in this world is, how binding it is. Have you heard about Samson? Samson was, before he was conceived, an angel came to the parents of Samson and said, "Your child will be very strong. He will be able to bring you out of the slavery. He will deliver Israel from slavery. You come from Israel, isn't it? Which town, if I may ask? Not Tel Aviv. Wonderful. So we will hear of your own Samson now. So, but the angel said, there is one thing which you must know. Never cut his hair. parents said, okay. When the son was young, it was once playing, and a powerful lion came. Do we have lions now in Israel? Here and there. Sorry? Not free. In the zoo we have. Yeah. So there were wild lions, and one of these wild lions jumped on Samson. Samson was not disturbed. The little 4-year-old boy just turned the head around. He was so powerful. Now, he grew up, and the Philistine army heard about him and attacked him when he was a young man. 10,000 people when he was alone. At that time, he just looked around. He had no weapon. But he saw a jawbone from a donkey. He took it. Maybe it had become stony from old age. And with this jawbone, he beat the Philistine army of 10,000 people. Hare Krishna. He was so strong. Later, the Philistines who were controlling Israel understood we have to defeat this Samson. What to do? And then they understood even the strongest man is under the control of karma. So they found one woman, her name was Delilah, and said, Delilah, you will get so much gold and silver if you can find out the mystery of Samson's strength and find out how he can be defeated. So Delilah came close and they became a couple. Then one day Delilah said, just in theory, you know, lovers should not have any secret. What is the secret of your strength? How can you be defeated? Samson said, should I tell her that my hair, my uncut hair, others say, no, I can't tell this. He said, well, if you bind me with 7 bowstrings, you can defeat me. So when he was resting, she was tying 7 bowstrings around him, and then she called, the Philistines are coming. Because she did not know if he would have told the truth. So when she said, the Philistines are coming, a whole army came to overwhelm Samson. But Samson just made like plang, and then he took, I don't know, a pillar or something, and just defeated all the Philistines. Delilah said, that was not the, you have not really given me the answer to your to my question. What is the source of your strength? I mean, how can you be defeated? This is really the... Samson said, if I'm wrapped with brand new ropes. Again, she wrapped brand new ropes when he was sleeping around. And then she called, the Philistines are coming. The Philistine soldiers are coming. He just woke up. And he saw the soldiers were just so close. They were just coming through the door with their spears. Samson just went like, wah! And broke all the ropes. And then he took some granite and finished. Delilah was desperate. She needed that gold. My love, I will satisfy all your desires if you could just tell me, because lovers need to know the secret of the others. You know the secret of my life, of every centimeter of my body, but I don't know you, really, unless you tell me. Samson said, if someone takes my hair and puts it into 7 strands and binds it into a loom. Loom, you understand? Loom is Webstuhl. He was coming close. So when he was resting, Delilah did this. And again, the Philistine army is coming. Sounds a bit like ants. And took the whole loom. Loom, it's where you make a cloth and just used it as a weapon. Finally, Delilah said, "One last time, my dear. We are so close to each other. We share the same room, the same food, the same life customs, the same convictions. Please tell me." Samson was so blind that he had no idea that Delilah had something to do with the constant attacks of the Philistine army. Finally he said, "Well, my strength lies in my hair. If someone shaves my hair." Delilah did this. And then the Philistine army entered, captured poor Samson, blinded him, and cut out the eyes, and made him a slave. The most powerful person, Yadunanda, you look so shocked. I know you are a non-violent Vaishnava. The most powerful person can be defeated by this strong feeling. And therefore, the scriptures are full of examples. For instance, our scriptures tell us of Kasyapa Muni, who was such a very, very noble Brahmana. But when his wife approached him during the night, during the dawn, to get a child from him, although he was in the midst of a yajnik sacrifice, she could not say no. He could not say no. And you know, when you, for those of you who are grihasthas, if you conceive a child when the sun goes down, this is not good. A demon will be born. Or a vana shankara, a bad person. So Kasyapa Muni knew about it, but the power of lust, or the power of, we don't want to say the power of love, we want to reserve love for selfless giving, was so strong. The power of lust was so strong. We know about Indra. Indra once saw Ahalya, a beautiful ascetic woman, and was overwhelmed by desires. As a result, he disguised himself as the husband of Ahalya. I think his name was Gaga Muni or Gaga Rishi, and he had a relationship with Ahalya. When the husband found out, he was so entirely angry at Indra that he cursed him first to have his body covered with the female private part, which looked really embarrassing. I mean, the whole body, even the face, and so on. Then on when Indra looked in the mirror, he thought, "This is too much. I mean, how do I look? I have to rule the whole kingdom, and if I look like this, you know." Then the curse was weakened. He got eyes instead. Don't know if you knew it. This is, if you want to talk about scandals, this is a heavy scandal. Yeah. In modern times, you also can see different examples. I heard from Radhanath Maharaj that there was a Zen monk in Bodh Gaya who became quite famous amongst the Westerners. He requested them to meditate for 12 hours a day, Vrindadevi, that is double the time, the time which you have school. And they only ate barley soaked in water, mixed with a little salt. He said sense gratification is all an illusion. Now, in his spiritual camp, there were huts, and he lived in one of the huts, and all the Westerners lived also in other huts. One evening, they found out that a lady was visiting the monk. In the beginning, because they felt like disciples, they did not say anything. But each evening, this lady was coming, or sometimes not, but every second evening. And finally, they had to confront him and said, "We heard you say everything is illusion, but it seems you have been subdued by the power of lust." He had to admit, I was not strong enough. Also in our Hare Krishna movement, we have seen how great devotees wanted to escape this influence, but it was not possible. Because although it is something perverted, it's a perverted form of the strongest thing which is existing in the universe, love, love for Krishna. When this so-called love is frustrated, it is the greatest misery. When someone places his love on someone else, it is really the greatest misery. When you have a headache, you can take an aspirin against it. When you have a backache, you take oil against it. But when your heart is broken, nothing helps. Hare Krishna. Maybe we have a few broken hearts here. Nothing helps. People are even prepared to commit suicide. This is how powerful this emotion is. I heard once a person in the neighborhood, I never saw him, but that man came home one evening. He was told that he had been he was expected to be in a foreign country. He was an engineer, but he came home and he saw his own wife with a different lover in the sleeping room. He became so furious that he just ran to, it was a rich man. Rich men in Germany all have weapons, by the way. He took the weapon, he shot his wife, and then he shot himself. Hare Krishna. This is how powerful this feeling is when it is frustrated. It kills people. They become unreasonable. The Gita informs us in a very amazing verse, kama esha krodha esha rajaguna samudbhava. It says this karma burns like fire and can't be satisfied, and later it turns into violence. This was an example of this. This violence. People who used to love each other become violent towards each other. It's such a strong, uncontrollable energy, this karma. Yes. We are all in this world under the shackles of this karma, of this love. Prabhupada was once asking his disciples, why do you do Krishna consciousness? Why do you practice it? They said, well, Krishna is God, and this and that. And Prabhupada said, no, the answer is very simple. You love to do it. There's something which is in for you. You feel happy by this. We are all imperceptible doing what we love to do. We are, as the scriptures say, in this world under the prison in a house of love. In America, the Americans built a big prison. It was, now we must look closely, Alcatraz. Is this correct? Alcatraz. It was near the beach of, no, it was near California, isn't it? San Francisco, California? Oh. It was an island. And there were, it was the best protected prison with iron barbed wire, machine guns. They had the most dangerous sharks around the island. Yeah? Sharks?
Yeah.
Wow. And so that no prisoner could escape. But from time to time, prisoners escaped. Hare Krishna. But in this world, Alcatraz is in each one of our hearts. No one can escape the Alcatraz of karma, of lust. We are bound together, we are bound to this world by the prison of love. Maya has created a prison house without walls in our hearts. Prabhupada writes this in the Bhagavad Gita that just like an ordinary prison is kept with iron bars, we are all in the prison of lust. Hare Krishna. This lust has two forms. One is a gross form and the other is a subtle form. The gross form is just karma, sensual desires, and the subtle form is the desire for importance, pride. Even a great ascetic who wishes to escape the world can be easily controlled by pride. A little while ago, I was in Puri and met one Ramanuja Gopal. He's the head of the Imamat, a monastery there, just opposite to the Singhadwara. And he told me of a heartbreaking realization he had once when he went to Badrinath. In Badrinath, he had visited the most famous recluse of India. He's a man who lives undressed in a cave, and many people come to him because he's really very renounced. When Ramanuja Gopal came in the cave, there was a pile of untouched money before this man who was sitting and meditating. After an hour or so, the ascet opened his eyes and said, "Let's meditate." And then he again closed the eyes. And for 6 hours, Ramanuja Gopal had to meditate in the court. Then the man said, "I opened his eyes and said, we can talk in a moment. I will just go outside for a second." He needed to answer nature's call. So Ramanuja Gopal had an idea. He said to his disciple, "Please sit in the baitak, the sitting place of this man." The disciple went there. He said, "But you have to protect me when he gets angry." No problem. So he, when the yogi came back and saw someone is sitting on my baitak, baitak means sitting place, he became so angry. He fumed with rage. "Who do you think you are? A superstar? Why do you sit on my baitak?" Ramanuja Gopal said, "You have renounced the whole world, but you could not renounce your pride. You are attached to this seat because it gives you power as the great yogi who sits on this seat. You must know in India, when you do bhajan, you always go on your seat. A seat is something more than just a chair. And even I see you, you also like to go on your own seat. I have seen Jai Govinda, you are on the same seat, and Yadunandan, you are on the same seat." our, your name is Grace, I believe.
Claire.
Claire. And Nitya Kishori, always on the same seat. It's for spiritual people like this, because they, what happens subtly, they create their own atmosphere. By, and you want to go in your own atmosphere which you have established. Especially if you do bhajan. So, he was so, Ramanuja said, you have given up everything, but you could not give up your attachment to your pride of being a big yogi. Man said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm very sorry. And he cried and said, yes. So, even if you can give up your desire for karma for some time, the desire for pratishta, the subtle form of the sense of attachment, pratishta means recognition, pride, like this, is very difficult to give up. Very difficult. Ooh, because remember, love is very strong in whatever form it appears. Now I would like you to look at a few more not so selfish forms of love. I would like to go with you to the civil war between North and South America. Claire, how do we say there are North and South America, which are two different continents, but there's also the southern part of North America. How do we say to this?
Well, say it's just that the North and the South, it's not.
Yeah.
Since there's no division.
Yes, we say the South of North America declared war against the North, or vice versa. It was a civil war, where civil people were drawn into the war. It was a terrible war. America lost so much people in this. Now, there were women who liked their husband, loved their husband so much that they said, I can't bear to be without you. And if you fall in the war, I prefer to fall next to your side. Fall means be killed. And many, many, many women went next to their husbands into war because they just couldn't imagine to be separated from the husband. When they were going to the place where they were prescribed their enrollments, they had bound their hair back and put some hat over the hair, so they had also hidden their other womanly forms, so that they looked like men, and just to go into the war. Many died, many. Ooh. Also in India we have this love of the woman for the man, which is not, which at first glance is not so selfish. For instance, do you know the sati ritual? Have you heard? There is a mantra which they chant. My dear, when the husband is dead and is burned in the funeral pyre, then the woman enters the fire by chanting this mantra. My dear husband, the fire of separation from you burns me alive. I'm now taking shelter in the cooling fire of this funeral pyre to be saved from the heat of the fire of separation. Hare Krishna. This was how attached they were. And ultimately a form of love which we can find in this world is the love of the mother for the child. I've talked already about it. It's very, very strong. The mothers are prepared to do everything for their child. And as I said, you wouldn't be able to find a servant. You couldn't pay a servant, even not with millions of euros, to do so much service. Well, what I want to explain with all these examples is the same point. Even when love appears in this world, and we call it, strictly speaking, karma, it is, even if it is quite pure, and we have heard some examples, it's the most powerful emotion which you can imagine. It's so powerful. It really moves our whole life. Now, when we love in this world, whom do we love ultimately? Is the question. Whom do we love ultimately? Ultimately, we love ourselves by this love. And I want to tell you a very simple argument. In this world, it appears that a person loves a spouse or children or friends. Does this mean the spouse or children or friends are most dear to the person? No. More dear than any spouse, children, and friends is one's own body. You know, when you have hurt in your body, you really only want to take care of your own body and heal it and so on. Why do we love our body so much that when there's something wrong, we are prepared to do anything for the body? The thing is that we love our body so much because there is a soul inside. This, by the way, is Prabhupada's chain of argument. It's very lovely. There's a soul inside. Without the presence of the soul, we couldn't love ourselves so much. Now, why do we love the soul so much? Because it's part of Krishna. So all love in this world, if you go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in it, is misdirected love for Krishna. That's why it is so strong. I love another spouse because I love my body. I love my body because I love my soul. I love my soul because I love Krishna, the original soul. This feeling of love is so strong because it's ultimately love of God. We have heard from Prabhupada in the early days an example. Love is like a ray of light which comes, when it comes into the world, it becomes misdirected towards the world. It's almost like a ray of light which falls into a prisma. Have you seen what happens when it falls in a prisma? The white light becomes split up in many colors, into a spectrum we call, and it goes, I want to show you. Let's say this is the prisma, okay? Here comes the light, and then it always goes, it bends the light down, shoop, goes like this. Or like this, up it can also go. So when our love for Krishna comes into this world, then it becomes bent away or diverted from Krishna. We love this body and so on. If we look for love, this original love which will satisfy our craving, we must turn away from the world and look at the kingdom of God. If we want to look for the satisfaction of love in this imperfect place, the material place, it's almost like a deer who looks for water in the desert. It's not there. Water is there, but not in the desert. So you can never find the fulfillment of your loving cravings in this world. You must look in the kingdom of God. You must look for fulfillment of love in the pure or in the spiritual sense. Let us now look at some people who have given up mundane love for spiritual love. I want to start in a different tradition in Saint Francis of Assisi, Who is from Italy? Our Jai Govinda Prabhu. Have you visited Assisi? Are you born in Assisi maybe? No. But you have visited. Yeah. On Sankirtan most properly or in... Yeah?
Very pious.
Very pious, still pious and under the spirit of Saint Francis of Assisi, yeah. Saint Francis of Assisi was not in the beginning a pious person. He was a rich man's son, and as a rich man's son, could enjoy many pleasures which money could buy. Once on a party, it happened that he was watching the party going on. His friends were noble friends were engaged in enjoying like young people do on a party. All of a sudden, he noticed that this life is not for him. And he felt like chanting the whole night, he chanted, Dio mio, Dio mio, Dio mio, my God, oh my God, oh my God. Then his friends went out. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you have visited parties of young people when you were young. It always happens that there is a person who has a bad mood and who cannot find his way into the party. It happens also in kirtans. There are always people who just don't find their way into a kirtan. We human beings are like this. We're sometimes a little mental. So his friends also thought, well, he's a little mental. So they went out, they were a little drunken one evening and rushed to Assisi and sang, whoa, ah, whoa. All of a sudden they looked back, there's Saint Francis. No, at that time he was not Saint Francis. They looked back and they saw he was standing like this in the road. He was crying and he was chanting, Dio mio, Dio mio, Dio mio. That was his mantra. My God, I've forgotten you.